From a quarantined studio brought to you by KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A number of industries have taken advantage of the coronavirus crisis to give themselves a new lease on life. Some call this disaster capitalism, or just plain exploitation of our fears. The plastics industry is one such sector of the economy, facing numerous state and local level plastic bag bans. The big businesses that rely on byproducts of the climate change causing petroleum industry are now pushing back. Studies and op-eds claiming that a ban on plastic bags fuels the coronavirus are popping up all over the place. My guest is John Hosovar, Greenpeace USA Oceans Campaign Director. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So first, there was obviously in place a ban on plastic bags in many parts of the country well before this coronavirus pandemic. We're in quite uncharted territory. It's just been a few weeks. How seriously had those bans been impacting the plastics industry?
I think it's a good start. I'd like to see a lot more impact on the plastic industry, to be honest. But it's been really inspiring seeing all over the country and really all around the world, people in communities of all sizes rising up and saying, we want to protect ourselves, we want to protect our oceans, and we want to start getting rid of single-use plastic.
So what have you been seeing in terms of the claims that people are making about the plastic bag ban? I recall even before the coronavirus hit, it became a sort of favorite target of conservatives to slam, you know, plastic straw bans. Trump made a big deal about it. But are you seeing a lot of these kinds of claims that now is the worst time for us to have a plastic bag ban because coronavirus?
Yes, we are. And it's really just in the past, I'd say, 10 days where this has completely taken off. And it's become a major corporate initiative to try to undermine these efforts that people have made all over the place to try to limit plastic in their neighborhoods and their communities. And it's very rare that we actually see companies being willing to put their name on this. It's much more often through front groups and trade associations and lobbyists. And most recently, we have now seen plastics, the Plastic Industry Association, trying to get the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services to come out and say how important single-use plastic is to protect human health and to actually advocate against bans at the community or state or even federal level.
Now, there is obviously a place for plastic, particularly in the medical community, as there is a massive shortage of personal protective equipment. I imagine that plastic is at least one ingredient in many of the masks and gowns and gloves that doctors and nurses rely on. And of course, a lot of equipment does need to be disposable in a medical environment to prevent contamination.
I think that's probably right. I mean, as we learn more about the long-term impacts of our addiction to plastic throughout the history of its life cycle, from production all the way up to disposal, we'll probably want to find fewer and fewer uses for plastic. But our focus really is not on something as controversial or as complicated as the health sector, but much more on packaging connected to food and beverage.
Right.
And
so that's where people have been kind of pushed into being afraid. The fears are real because we've been told all sorts of confusing things about how long the virus can last on surfaces. And I imagine that the plastics industry is pushing single-use disposable plastic packaging as a safe alternative to reusable packaging, right?
They are indeed. And they're doing that despite the fact that there's really so many unanswered questions about the virus at this stage. And also the fact that what we do know doesn't really seem to support the industry's claims at all. It's clear that the virus can survive on plastic longer than most other materials, for example.
And tell me a little bit more about that. Are there studies showing that, or is it too early right now to see studies to that effect?
There is a new study put out by the National Institute of Health and others that said the longest living surface for the virus is actually plastic and steel. And so we're finding, it seems like scientists are finding that the kind of the harder, more solid materials, those surfaces are where the virus lasts the longest compared to, say, food itself or something like cloth bag, where it probably doesn't last as long.
And even things like cardboard, I imagine.
That's right. It lasts much less on cardboard than on plastic.
So, and this is just based on what we already know. And incidentally, there was one study of cruise ships where the coronavirus had been found to be quite prevalent, showing that the virus was able to survive on surfaces for up to 17 days. And it wasn't clear which surfaces they were talking about, but, you know, plastic is quite prevalent, as is metal in places like cruise ships. But of course, cloth is as well, and it's not yet clear. What we do know is that the plastics industry does not like reusable bags. I understand that they're also invoking older studies, trying to claim that reusable bags, the kind that people use to go grocery shopping, to show that, you know, they're not going to be using, to first of all, comply with the plastic bag bans. The right-wing sectors have tried to show that these are just cesspools of germs.
That's right. And that's all despite the fact that even the industry funded studies, which they like to cite, show that if you actually wash your bags periodically, then they are not really a health risk.
So how are people, you know, how susceptible you think are people to this messaging? Because there is a huge amount of fear right now, and understandably so. The death rate is high. The U.S. is quickly becoming an epicenter of the disease. You know, there's not enough social distancing in enough parts of the country yet, or quarantining. And so we're going to, and there's a lot of fear, especially about elderly populations. How susceptible, as far as you can tell, are people to this kind of messaging?
There is a lot of fear right now. And, you know, and that's what is so appalling about this, really, is that at a time where all of us are concerned about the health of ourselves, our family members, our friends, we're seeing the plastic industry exploit that and feed on that fear and anxiety and try to use it to their own ends, twisting the science and subverting public policy. And I think most people will be appalled by that. On an individual level, it's hard to say how susceptible people really are, but we certainly have, at all levels of government right now, we have elected officials and appointed officials that, let's say, are pretty open to an industry perspective.
Even if plastic was a good alternative in the era of coronavirus, which is hugely debatable and probably not, how bad is it for our health in general, before the virus pandemic and after the virus pandemic?
We know that single-use plastic and plastic in general is a huge health issue for us. You know, starting with extraction, fracking, we've seen over and over again, has destroyed water supply for many communities. And then through the refineries, communities near these factories are increasingly impacted in ways that are much greater than most of us have to deal with. And then straight up through the use of plastic, we know that, you know, for example, if you heat up food in some types of plastic packaging, you're going to see some dangerous chemicals leach into your food. And then, of course, the end of the game for plastic, where it ends up in the environment, possibly a landfill or an incinerator, and then the chemicals end up in the environment. So at this point, we, you know, it's clear that we've put so much plastic into the world, that it's in the food that we eat, the water that we drink, and the air we breathe. It's a health issue from start to finish.
And also there are long-term ramifications on climate change, right? Even those plastics that end up in landfills have been found to be a source of outgassing.
That's absolutely right. And a lot of people don't realize that plastic is made from fossil fuels and is helping drive extraction. It's really a big force behind the fracking boom right now.
So now President Trump, as one of the participants in this disaster capitalist approach to the coronavirus, has boosted the oil and gas industry because as part of the stock market crashes that have come about from the fallout from this crisis, oil and gas prices dropped dramatically. He ordered the Department of Energy to buy up huge amounts of oil and gas for the federal for the federal government's own reserves. That directly benefits not just the oil and gas industry, but also the plastics industry, right?
It's true. When you talk about disaster capitalism, Trump is a disaster president. It's, you know, obviously, I think we all know that this is a time where we can't afford to be pursuing new oil and gas extraction. And it doesn't matter whether it's for plastic or for fuel. It's just something that we can't afford.
How what is the danger level for plastic bag bans around the country right now? Are you worried that governors or mayors citing the coronavirus as an emergency will suspend temporarily or even permanently bans that they've enacted?
I am worried. I think that there's still time for us to turn this around pretty quickly. But unfortunately, we have to, with the amount of money that the industry is putting into this PR campaign and really exploiting people's anxiety in a way that is that's just unacceptable. So I am worried. But then, you know, we have the facts and we have the science on our side.
There's a Clemson study that is being cited, Clemson University study. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I don't have a lot of details, to be honest, but it's a good example of the kinds of things that the industry is pushing out. It's one of those cases where the industry funds the research and then once it's out, uses it very selectively. So the science is probably peer reviewed, but the way that they frame it is something else entirely. And that kind of spin can be really misleading.
So Clemson University Professor Robert Kimmel contacted the State Department of Health and numerous elected officials, urging the state where Clemson is located, to postpone the ban on plastic bags and the distribution of reusable bags until the threat of the coronavirus spreading has passed. He cited the study showing that the reusable bags can carry virus contamination and said the risk to public safety from requiring the use of reusable grocery bags while the coronavirus threat is growing will in the next few months be at its peak is not worth taking. I strongly urge that the ban on hygienic plastic grocery bags not be implemented until the coronavirus threat is passed. So he uses the word hygienic to describe plastic. This is something I think you're probably going to see a lot more of, right? That if we can just, you know, throw away packaging, it's just more hygienic. If we have the single-use packaging, we get it because we think it's untouched and we use it and we throw it away and then we use a new one.
I think what we'll find increasingly is that it's less about the material that we use and more about our own hygiene. If someone walks into a supermarket and is sneezing, it's going to contaminate everything around, whether it's the stack of supposedly hygienic single-use bags or the countertop. So we really need to be careful and we need to take care of each other first and foremost. And then we need to listen to the science, which clearly shows that those plastic bags are as much of a vector for the virus, or more of a vector for the virus than many other materials.
Do you worry that the environmental movement in general might see a setback as a result of this coronavirus?
I think I think we're seeing setbacks across a lot of different issues, unfortunately. But there are also a lot of positive signs. And for me, especially where I see the hope is in the spirit of people working together, looking out for each other, and thinking about taking this moment to try to start building the world that we need.
What do you encourage people to do who might be worried about the plastic bag bans being unraveled? A lot of local environmental activism went into a lot of the struggles that led to big victories in cities and localities and even states around the country.
I think this is a great time to be proactive in reaching out to those same elected officials that worked with us to pass these bans and restrictions and remind them that this was an important thing and that we still stand behind that, that we'd like to see them build on these steps instead of roll them back. And it's a really important moment for them to hear from us.
And there are elected officials who, of course, we know are beholden to the plastics industry. Just over the weekend, the governor of New Hampshire, Christopher Sununu, urged shoppers in his state to leave their reusable bags at home. And he said that he's already going to be ordering stores to use only new plastic and paper bags to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. It's just quite shocking how quickly this has come through. So this is New Hampshire.
It is. And as quickly as it's come, hopefully we can turn things around just as quickly. I think that's where our focus is right now. Well, first, of course, on making sure that people are as safe as they can be, sharing information that's actually based on scientific fact, and then working together to keep things moving in the right direction as much as we can.
Are there other states where you worry this could be happening? I mean, we're here in the state of California, which has taken huge strides on the issue of plastic bags. Governor Cuomo in New York is being urged to suspend his state's plastic bag ban. It's not clear if he would do such a thing. He's a Democrat. He seems to be someone who takes scientific research seriously. Do you have any sense of whether states like New York or California could renege on these bans?
There's a chance, and that's why I really would not advise anyone to take the wins that we have accomplished together for granted. And I think this is a great moment for our elected officials to hear from us.
There are news reports from all over the world that one tiny upside, it's hard to even put these words together because there's no upside to the coronavirus, but because people around the world have been forced into their homes, the impact on our environment has actually resulted in some instances of cleaner air, cleaner water. There are images of the canals in Venice, Italy, being a lot cleaner, so clean that dolphins have reappeared, swans have reappeared. But plastic bags, you work on oceans, plastic bags, if they were to see a resurgence in use, we would see them clogging up our oceans and our waterways, just as badly as they'd been doing, right?
That's the risk. And we know that plastic bags are one of the most dangerous types of pollution that ends up in the ocean. We've regularly seen whales wash up on beaches dead with stomachs full of plastic bags. Plastic bags, because they're so thin, break down into small pieces, microplastics, fairly quickly. And in a lot of ways, that makes them even more dangerous because they're eaten by more and more creatures and enter the food chain. So, at this point, we're finding bits of plastic in every baby turtle that we look at in Florida, for example.
Wow.
So, no one is eager to see, hopefully, plastic bags increase in numbers.
Well, I mentioned the New Hampshire issue. There's the city of Denver, Colorado, where the bring your own bag law, which is essentially a plastic bag ban, is likely to be delayed. And a headline says, because single-use plastic and paper seems cleaner. in the coronavirus era. So seems cleaner is the operative phrase there. John, where can people find out more about the work you do at Greenpeace?
Just at our website, www.greenpeace.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our site. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
John Hocevar is Greenpeace USA's Oceans Campaign Director. We've been discussing how the plastics industry is exploiting the coronavirus to promote a resurgence of plastic use. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.